This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 1, where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with a SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one, if and when the Holy Spirit leads according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody's invited. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and True Social taping. Excuse me. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place, the very healthy, amazing Grace Produce Place. He did not pay me to say that. It's at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. The book of Hebrews is God's school to His church. He calls His church His bride. Jesus is the head. We, the many-membered body of Christ, are His bride. And He's taking us to school because when He comes back at the second coming, He wants a bride who's perfect and ready for the marriage. Holy Spirit used the Apostle Paul to write this book. And the Apostle Paul has given us the ABCs of Christianity. He started us in kindergarten, and now we're ready to graduate. The Apostle Paul said the Christian life is like running a long-distance foot race. It's a long, straight, narrow path. There are a lot of hurdles. There are a lot of stumbling blocks there. Satan wants to take you out of the race. But finally, you get to the end of the race. And there's a reward. You get a crown. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart to your heart, final instructions to the church for the final hour. Final instructions to the church for the final hour. We are at the end of the age. Now, nobody knows the day nor the hour when Jesus will come. But Jesus said in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things. You will know the times and the seasons. The next big event on God's timetable is the appearance of the Antichrist, the fake one, calling himself Christ, who will be in Jerusalem. And the whole world will call him God and half the body of Christ. Thank goodness his time's been short for the elect's sake, Mark 13. And then comes Jesus at the seventh trump. And he's ready for his bride, and he wants everybody to be ready. Therefore, again, final instructions to the church for the final hour. Parentheses, church, let this be your finest hour.
Verse 1, let brotherly love continue.
In the book of Revelation, there are seven churches of Asia, and they are in a circle. They are types of the church of Jesus Christ right here on planet Earth at the end of this age. It's not the names, but types. There are only two of these churches that please the Lord Jesus. Two Christian churches, two types. One is called Smyrna, and one is called Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. So there's something that Philadelphia, brotherly love, teaches here that pleases Jesus. And Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says through him, I want you to keep doing this. What does he teach? Philadelphia Brotherly Love tells you who those are who say they are Judah. We love our brother Judah, but they're not Judah. They're the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. Who are they? He tells us to tell this. Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They're the descendants of Cain. Cain is a child of the devil. When that old serpent, not a serpent, just one of his play-acting names, the devil, beguiled Eve and bore Cain. And these are the devil's children, and they are alive and well, and they play a great important part right now to deceive that part of the church that does not want to be deceived. So that's why he keep bringing that back to your remembrance.
Verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Now, when it says be not forgetful, it means be very careful. Now, we know we have good angels, Hebrew 1, ministering angels sent forth to ministry as of salvation. But he's referring to the fallen angels, called Nephilim in the Hebrew, of Genesis 6. They refused to be born of women, and they came on in anyway. And because they did that, they held in a place called Tarsus. Peter tells us that. Jude tells us that also. They are coming back, these fallen angels, with the Antichrist. And some are already here. They are charismatic. They are gorgeous. They are mesmerizing. You're the personality, the excitement of them. You can't take your eyes off of them. And they're going to come into the church and preach great swelling words. And that's why Paul said, women, have your head covered. 1 Corinthians 11. But women means the church, because Jesus is the bridegroom, male, and the church is the bride. Men, women, boys, and girls, you better have your head covered with the word of God. They are so charismatic. They're in the government right now. They're in some of the pulpits right now. They're in the media right now. And they woo, and they woo, and they woo. And they come and sit beside you, and you don't even know it. Watch out for them, because they can cause you to worship their daddy, the devil. It's going to be the greatest revival in the church you've ever had, but it's a fake revival. It's the revival of the fallen angels preaching there, making you think their daddy is Christ when he's the devil with his Jesus costume on, who comes before Jesus.
Amen. Verse 3. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being also yourself in the body.
Now, there's going to be a lot of persecution. We're already being persecuted for righteousness' sake. But this is not what it means. When the Antichrist comes, the devil pretending to be Jesus, he's going to look like him, talk like him, act like him. Two horns of a lamb, the power of Jesus, but the voice of a dragon. And he's going to be so beguiling that one half of the Christian church is going to go to him and think he is the Savior. Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins, one half. Now, the other half of the body of Christ, the elect, that be you, who will not be deceived, are going to be turned in by those other Christians. They think they're saving us. Luke 21, Matthew 10. The mother shall turn the daughter to death. Doesn't mean going to kill her. Hebrews 2:14 says Jesus came to destroy death, whose name is the devil. In other words, they're going to turn you into him, the father, the son, the mother, the father, the brothers and sisters, the family of God is what it means. Other people in the church are going to turn you in and say, Jesus, they don't think you're Jesus. And of course, it's the devil. And boy, is that going to be hard for you. But don't worry about those people. They are the ones in bonds because they are the one who are deceived. It is God's plan for God's very elect to be delivered up to the Antichrist, because Luke 12 says that we are to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us. The trials won't be more than 10 days in his own heavenly language. The tongue, the language of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in that tongue, like Pentecost, the whole world will hear in their own language, and the gospel shall be preached. But don't worry about those other Christians. They are the ones in chains, not you.
Amen.
Verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes after the Antichrist, is coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's why he's teaching us Hebrews, so we'll be that perfect bride, okay? But the Antichrist comes first. The sixth trumpet is the devil pretending to be Jesus. The seventh trumpet is Jesus. And since the devil, even in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, and 7, 1 Earth Age, Isaiah 14, always imitated God, he said, I will be God. Don't you know he's going to have a marriage? All the world and one half of the body of Christ alive right now will be deceived, and they'll think they're the end of the race, and they will go and marry him. And that's called adultery, idolatry. No wonder Jesus said in Mark 13, woe to those who are with child when I come. He's not talking about a woman being pregnant. He's talking about anyone spiritual marrying the Antichrist, nurturing along, suckering along his work. Okay, if you marry the devil, you won't get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and God will judge you.
Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have.
Okay, the Antichrist is so desirable. He is so mesmerizing. I mean, oh, he's so beautiful. God made him the perfect pattern, Ezekiel 28. He is gorgeous beyond description. His personality, oh, I love you. You are so special. I am Jesus. I'm going to give you all kind of good things. Desirable. Covet means desirable. Eve was deceived in the garden. She desired him. She said, ooh, you're good to look at. You're to be desired. He's going to come to you with all your senses, your sense of feeling, emotion, touch, sight. Don't be caught away with that.
For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Your Lord Jesus is your first love. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is with you every moment. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Keep your love on your first love. But you need to start that now. You need to love Jesus more now than yourself and your video games.
Verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper.
Boldly means with great confidence and with faith. Let us all say, the Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
All over the world, the Lord is my helper. Don't forget, Jesus says that you shall have what you say if you believe in your heart. The Lord is my helper.
Amen. And I will not fear what man should do unto me.
Jesus says in Matthew 10, don't fear those who could kill your body. Remember, you're not your body. Rather fear him who could kill both soul and body in hell. Amen. You're a soul. That's your will, your emotions. You have a spirit, the intellect of your soul. And Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, God says, fear not. I am with you. I will help you. See, the Lord is your helper.
Amen.
You're not going to be alone. Jesus is with you. He's going to strengthen you.
Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God.
Now God, Jesus, the head of the Christ, head of the body, has appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to give to you the word of God, every word of God by the anointing of Holy Spirit. Now, as we come to the end of the age, this is not the time for you to ignore what that shepherd is telling you from God's word. They're doing it because they love you and they don't want you to get deceived. You remember them, pray for them, encourage them. It's lonely at the top.
Whose faith follow?
You will know them because they live by faith. They don't live by sight. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Considering the end of their conversation.
Conversation. Look at their lifestyle. You know who the real teachers are.
Amen.
You shall know them by their fruits.
Amen.
And you're supposed to bear fruit too.
Verse 8. Ye Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.
That true shepherd in that church focuses on Jesus. And he wants you to keep your focus on Jesus. Jesus, the same yesterday. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He always was. He is today. He always will be. He changes not. He is the Word of God, and the Word endures forever. And
Amen.
If you keep your focus and in the Word, you will endure forever.
Amen.
Verse 9. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace.
Heart is mine. You're going to have a lot of false teaching. We have it now. Paul calls it in other places, Timothy, he calls it fables. Do not get carried away. Do not get carried away. Remember that. Don't fly away with Margaret MacDonald's fable. And she said in 1830 that we're not going to be here for the tribulation, that Jesus is going to come and fly us away. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said in Matthew 24, I'm not coming until after the tribulation. Ezekiel 13, in the King James says, God says, I am against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls. And the 1 Thessalonians 4, that air does not mean to go into the sky. It means to change into the breath of the spirit body when Jesus comes, which we will do when Jesus comes.
Amen.
So don't get carried away. Remember Matthew 24, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They knew not until the flood came and took them all away. The ones who were taken away did not make it because they would not believe the word of God. He says, stay in the field. One shall be taken and one left. The one taken has been had conned. Don't get caught up with those fairy tales. You're going to be right here.
Not with meats which have not profited them.
Meat means the word.
But have been occupied therein.
They've been so excited about flying away, that's all they can think about. They're occupied with that thought, but it's not going to profit them. You know why? Zechariah chapter 5 says, the woman, that means that part of the body of Christ that will think that the Antichrist is Jesus come to fly them away, they're going to get into a basket. It's symbolic of harvest time. Uh-oh, pray that your flight be not in winter. It's a wrong harvest. They get in the basket, and dirty birds try to fly them up, and they don't get up. The stork bird, they don't get up. They don't get down. They've had it. Don't be carried away. It's a lie. Won't profit you anything. If you get to that Airbus, you've had it. You've lost your salvation.
Verse 10. We have an altar.
We have an altar. You don't want to fall at the altar of Antichrist, although he's going to say peace, safety, and cause craft to prosper. He's going to be mesmerizing and beautiful. Our altar is Jesus. We stay with our hearts bowed before him. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. What will thou have me to do? And we know that it ever sits at the right hand of God, the throne of heaven, ever living to make intercession for us. Our altar is Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, well, they have no right to eat. Quit serve the tabernacle.
Those fallen angels and those who teach you that the devil is Jesus, they have no right to eat of the bread of life, Jesus.
Verse 11. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp.
Now, Hebrews taught us about the Mosaic temple, the tabernacle there, the sanctuary in the wilderness where they would worship God. God would appoint high priests. They would kill the animals, bulls and goats and so forth, and they would put them on the mercy seat for a substitute blood sacrifice until Jesus would come and pay that sacrifice. But the dead bodies of those animals, God said, don't you bring those dead bodies into my sanctuary. They were outside them. So Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says, don't you dare be dead, church. If you are dead, you are not saved. because you were dead in trespasses and sin. How can we know you're alive? No dead people in the church you're in.
Amen.
Here's how we know. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead makes you alive. There can be no, oh God, mumble, mumble, woe is me, dead prayers, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. No, 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 you're not alive. Come alive, church. Come alive, church. Come alive, church. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, so come alive. If you're dead, you can't marry Jesus because he's alive.
Verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood.
And finally, the Son of God came, the perfect Lamb, and he shed his blood and put it on the mercy seat in heaven. That blood will never lose its power, the centerpiece of heaven. What can wash away our sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make us whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Suffered without the gate.
He went up Calvary's mountain, Golgotha, the place of a skull, and allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. But it was not within the camp. It was not in Jerusalem. It was outside of Jerusalem, because he took all the sins of all mankind, and those phony high priests in Jerusalem wouldn't let sin be within the camp. Now he's leading up to a point. Jesus was crucified outside the camp, but...
Verse 13, let us go forth therefore to him without the camp.
Let's go to Jesus. Why? When the Antichrist comes, Revelation 12, Michael the archangel holding that old devil, that old dragon behind the throne in heaven, is going to kick him out of heaven. And the Antichrist in all of his beauty is going to come in the clouds. See how easy it is to be deceived? He's going to land his feet in Jerusalem, the city of the king. And Jesus says in Luke 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24, do not go there. Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the desolator, meaning the Antichrist, standing where he ought not, standing in the holy place, calling himself God in Jerusalem, don't go there. Get out of Dodge. Run. Wait for Jesus. Jesus is outside the camp now, but he's coming back, and then he's going to be in Jerusalem. Amen. Then you can go there.
And bearing his reproach.
Of course, the whole world will go to Jerusalem to see him. Half the body of Christ will catch a plane because you're not in your spiritual body yet. You know, if you could do the pinch test, Jesus hasn't come. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, but you don't go yet. You'll get reproached. People are going to say, "Whoo, you're not even a Christian." Well, guess what you're going to hear? You just stand steady, stand true, and you'll get a well done at the end of the road.
Amen.
Verse 14. For here have we no continuing city.
Now, here in this flesh, I mean, cities are so great. Look at New York City. What a city that was, the gateway to America. And now it's shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Look at Chicago. Mayor Lightfoot, all these Democratic, leftist, socialist, Congress, Marxist people leading. It's a mess. Look at California. Oh, my Lord, they need to get saved. But we don't pay attention to that. We can't count on this. He said in Hebrews, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. It's shaken right now.
Amen.
But we seek one to come.
There's one city that won't be shaken. Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem, our heavenly home. Amen. Keep your eyes on that one.
Verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
As you're the last hour, you were created to praise the Lord.
That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name.
Now, of course, you thank him. Stay with an attitude of gratitude in this last hour. Thanksgiving increases. But praise also means worship. You were created to worship God, because everything is so intense. This is not the time for you to stop going to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is as the day approaches. You're going to get so busy with your business, with your job, with all that's going on, that you say, I don't have time to go to church on Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday. I'm so busy, I gotta work. Uh-oh, look out. You've just fallen into a trap. He says, keep that worship. And then you say, I don't have time to pray for other people. All I can do is keep myself afloat. You are called to be an intercessory prayer. You're to pray for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, that when I kneel to pray, my prayer might be for others.
Amen. Now,
amen.
When you go to church on Sunday, and our good friends who go on Saturday and Wednesday night, you're worshiping him. If you don't have time for that, God might not have time for you. You're created to praise him. You're to praise him continually. And also, on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, when you're working there, make your work a worship. Worship. Let your do everything as unto the Lord. Amen. If you're building barbed wire fences, just build them for the Lord.
Amen.
You're created to worship. Go to church. Study the word. And you pray.
Verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not.
Okay.
But with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
See, sometimes it seems a sacrifice for you to close your business when it's time to go to church or start working or to pray when you need to go do something else. But that's a sacrifice he's pleased with. To do good, well, that pastor reads the Bible to you. It teaches you. The Bible tells you what to do. So you're supposed to do good. You say, I don't want to do that, Sherry. I want to do this one, but I won't do that one. I'll go on Sunday, but I won't go on Wednesday. I'll pray, but I won't have the Holy Spirit. I'll tithe, I'll give, but I won't tithe. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4:17. Communicate not only with God, but to communicate with other people. It's a sacrifice sometime to go to someone who's hurting, to listen and care and hug. It's a sacrifice to get that lost soul saved. It takes time, but with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Again, when you get to the end of the race, you'll say, well done, well done.
Amen.
Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you.
Oh, that means me. Obey me.
And submit yourselves.
What it means, that pastor, that teacher, that under shepherd, obey the word that they're telling you. Submit to that word. That word is helping you. When you disobey, you're going to get spanked big time by God. Every commandment that God tells you to do, and tells you through that pastor, is for your good.
Amen.
For they watch for your soul.
That's why we do it. We love you. We know you're not your body. We care about your body. We pray for healing. But we're watching for your eternal soul. We want God to say to you, well done.
Amen.
He's not going to say it if you disobey. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience is a sin of rebellion called witchcraft.
As they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief.
When your under shepherd keeps saying, the Bible says, do this, do this, do this, and you sit and stare and you just don't do what you don't do, it breaks our hearts. We love you. We know you're going to get spanked, and we don't want that.
For that is unprofitable for you.
It's not profitable for you. Because Hebrews says, whom God loves, he chastens. See, we're just reviewing Hebrews here. So you're going to get a big spanking, and it's not going to be fun. To him that knoweth to do good, that means whatever the Bible tells you to do, and do it not, to him it's sin. And you can't even be married, Jesus, with sin.
Verse 18, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. Verse 19, but I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner.
Paul is writing this. He's under house arrest in Rome, Italy. He's awaiting a trial there, and of course he would be sentenced to death. He's writing that, and he says, pray for me. His heart is heavy. He loves the people, but he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So he says, pray for me. He was not released from prison. We'll talk about that in a moment.
Verse 20.
Now what he's going to do, he's going to close his letter to the Church of Hebrews. He's going to give the benediction, which is a blessing. For those of you who come here on Sundays and Wednesdays, you'll recognize it. After I go off the air, this is the one I use, and this is where I get it. All over the world, Paul gives you a benediction, and so do I.
Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight.
Hallelujah. What a benediction.
Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
So be it.
Verse 22.
Now he puts a P.S. to his letter.
And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words.
He says, church, I want you to get this Hebrews right. This is a message that you need. Let it encourage you. Do it. Read it again. Hear it again.
Verse 23. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty.
Timothy was Paul's disciple. Timothy became a great man of God. He said, Timothy's been free from jail. He's not in jail now.
At whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you.
He says, I'm here. I'm in my house here. I'm restrained. I got a prison, you know, guard watching me. People could come and go to Paul, Acts 28, and he could teach them in the church, but he could not go out. He said, I hope Timothy comes to me, because he'll tell me how you are, and I'll see you through his eyes.
Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you.
Give my love to all of those pastors and teachers in your church.
And all the saints.
Give my love to all the saints, the set-aside ones, just dedicating their life to God in the church. Give my love to them.
They of Italy salute you.
All the people in Italy who come here, while I'm in, you know, guarded and restrained here, they come here and they want to tell you that they love you.
Verse 25, grace be with you all.
May the unmerited grace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ be with every one of you.
Amen.
Amen. So be it.
Amen.
Paul was not released from prison. History tells us that Nero beheaded him. The last letter that he wrote in the Bible was a 2 Timothy epistle. And his last words to Timothy were 2 Timothy chapter 4, my departure is at hand. But see, Paul knows to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He wrote that in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Here's Paul's last words. I have fought the good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there lies for me a crown of righteousness at that day. And for all who love his appearing. Amen. Precious Father God, we thank you for this love letter, the book of Hebrews. We feel the heart of Paul, and we know that great is his reward in heaven. And Father, your word does not return void, but accomplishes that whereunto it is sent. And I ask in the mighty name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit that everyone who hears this beautiful book of Hebrews will never be the same again. Conform us all to the image and likeness of Jesus, that we may be that perfect bride to marry our beloved bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Hebrews. We love you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
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 And so we complete the book of Hebrews. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, Man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What a blessing, that whole book, huh?
Awesome, isn't
it? It's an awesome book.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For the body without the spirit is dead.
Huh.
So faith without works is also dead. James 2:26.
That is perfect. The body without the spirit is dead.
Yeah.
See, you're in a body, but if you don't have the baptism, you're dead. So you better get it there. Fantastic, great. Before I pray for healing, let's pray for all who are not saved all over the world. I love you. Let's get you saved right now. Pray this prayer, mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Sanctify me.
Sanctify me.
Use me.
Use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
And my Savior.
And my Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Now for those in cyberspace, the book of Romans says with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You're supposed to tell someone, tell a lot of people. You may tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. Call that number. It's my voicemail. I leave your confession on there. And welcome to the family of God. Now read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. If you're a new Christian, start with the book of John. And now you may call him Father, because see, now you're his child. So you pray every day of your life, Father, in Jesus' name, and let the Holy Spirit guide you, and I want you to go out there and do some good in this world.
Amen.
You also may email me, not only your confession, I invite everybody to email me and tell me your prayer request, and if you will, give me your name, and on Wednesdays, SSS, sometimes I'll use your prayer request and I'll use your name. Would you like that? And you will email me your confession, your prayer request, your praise reports. No grumbling, okay? Here's my email. Sherry, Shari, Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Now, I want to pray for those who are suffering with pain in the lower abdomen, men and women. The Holy Spirit has shown me that your stomach is swollen, but it's not fat, and there's pressure, and you have to urinate too often. What it is, it's fibroid tumors, but they are benign. And they, on the women, they grow in the wall of the uterus. They have muscles, and they're growing there. And for men, you can have them too. Sometimes they're called other things. So we speak to this pressure that's calling you to go to the bathroom too much, urinate, and also your stomach's swollen, and you think that you're fat. No, you're not. Okay. Now, by the way, that you can help yourself by walking and jogging. That'll help. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, you're Yahweh Rapha, you're the Lord who heals. Koshanamakatur, O Son of Righteousness, go into the uterine, the wall of the uterus there, and into the male parts. In the name of Jesus, fibroid tumor, hernias, disintegrate, dissipate, go down, be small, pressure off the bladder, pressure off the stomach. Stomach, be flat, firm, in the mighty name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, even kidney stones disintegrate, and be gone. Perfect elimination in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we all say, I believe it.
I receive it.
With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No greater love is this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. And I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time. Guess what? We're going to start a new book. It's exciting. It's adventurous. Yeah. Jesus said, go to the old and go to the new. And so I just quit the new. I'm going to go to the old. It's exciting. It's adventurous. But it's very prophetic. Okay, I'll tell you what it is next time. Okay. I love you too. I'm looking forward to the next time when you and I get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the
Trumpet
of Truth.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
This is my desire. Honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA,
Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
When that tongue gets lit and hell throws fuel on the speech, it will send sparks throughout the rest of your life.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the potentially destructive power of the things we say.
Because see, there's dynamite in your dentures, which is why you gotta watch your mouth.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Dr. Evans says sometimes being tongue-tied is the best thing that could happen to you. Let's join him as he takes us to the book of James for a look at the power and the danger in the words we choose.
Dynamite is very powerful. It can help you and make life better. It can hurt you and ruin your life. You and I have dynamite, and it's in your dentures. Everyone in here has access to dynamite, explosive power that can destroy or that can construct. It's dynamite in your dentures. Your greatest enemy is not in your home. Your greatest enemy is not on your job. Your greatest enemy is in your mouth. Because when you discover about the power and the use and non-use of the tongue, you'll have a whole different view of the muscle in your mouth. Let me write that down. I can make that a title. That 3-inch muscle in your mouth is dynamite in your dentures. In this